Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
3, 2, 1. Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. We hope everybody had a great 4th of July. I heard a lot of fireworks over the weekend, tons of them. Glad my house is still standing. Hope everybody's doing well. The show today is going to be pretty interesting. We interview the Slaughter Charter head football coach, which is almost, you know, people think of Zachary, but Slaughter's its own place. But we have the head football coach that I taped, and we've got a bunch of great questions, and we'll bring that up after I introduce the show this segment. But Coach William Myers, who spent a little time at Bell Chase, if you know this, that name, Myers, the Myers brothers, Higgins, Wayne Myers and his brother. Currently Coach Myers is at Bell Chase, but his brother was also the head coach at Higgins, and William's actually kin to them and has done a great job, came over from the middle school in Zachary and is going to be the head coach this year at Slaughter Charter. So we do have an interview with William Myers, and also I do a team preview of the New Orleans Saints, the whole team, which I hope I don't bore you, but I figure it's kind of cool to kind of mention everybody that is on the team currently. It's going to change in the next couple of months. But, you know, training camp's coming up, so it's going to change too much. They could sign a couple of free agents. They could cut some people. You know how that goes in the NFL. They've got 3 cuts. And believe it or not, starting in early August, they'll be cutting players, you know, which is, it doesn't take long to get down to, I don't know, is it 55 now or 53? And then the practice squad's almost 15 or 20 kids. Well, I mean, I say kids, adults. We've got a lot of good – me and Jace Lejeune is going to talk for about a good segment, about a good 8 minutes, about former track star Richardson, who is not going to run in the Olympics. We'll debate that. And then also LSU picked up Jacob Berry. We're going to talk about that from Arizona, how big of an impact it is for LSU's baseball program. And we'll talk about LSU's football program, about how they can't lose anybody else. Key – 2 deep players. They can't lose anybody else between now and September the 5th. So we're going to go take a break. When we come back, I'm going to go over the interview with our coach, William Myers of Slaughter Charter. We'll be right back.
Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. This segment, we've got an interview. I was very happy to meet. You know, you got to meet coaches where you can. And I met Coach William Myers at 7 o'clock in the morning in Zachary, Louisiana, where we did this interview at a Waffle House. good old Waffle House. Hope they can sponsor one day, but no. Coach William Myers and me were able to sit down. He was drinking coffee, and we were talking about his program. We're talking about how, check this question out, talking about how having a 7th and 8th grade football team and how it helps the high school now that they have their first 7th and 8th grade football team at Slaughter Charter. The next question I had to coach is how many will dress on varsity? We talk about coach's background and also the first 4 minutes again, which we're talking about Friday night. What it's going to be like at Slaughter Charter.
Coach, you were telling me about the Slaughter Charter. You're being the, by the way, congratulations, first year as head coach. Y'all got a 7th and 8th grade football team now, first time. That's pretty exciting. You said, you know, because the school's 7th to 12th.
Right.
But y'all now have a 7th and 8th grade football team to build for the future.
Right. They're going to have their own schedule. Right now we got, for the summer workouts, 30 kids combined, 7th and 8th, working hard. And Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays is their workouts for the summer. And we just, all the coaching staff, we're really excited about our middle school team.
We're here at Waffle House, so if you hear anything. Coach has got his nice shirt on, Slaughter shirt. It's a good looking shirt there, black and white.
Creative Designs right here in Zachary.
There you go.
Jeff Calloway.
There you go. Put that in there, man. Coach, how many will you dress, you think, varsity this year come fall? I mean,
I was hoping 30 was my goal when I came in, but we're 25, 28 right now. I've got a couple kids taking summer classes, so hope they qualify. But if not, we're very pleased with the summer workouts. We're working hard and getting stronger in the weight room, getting faster. Just a lot of hard work this summer.
Coach, how many wins did y'all have last year prior to you coming aboard? What was the record last year?
2-3 was our overall. And then we had 2 wins in district. So, yeah.
With COVID,
right, with the shortened schedule and all shortened games. But then got to the second round against East Iberville, which was a top seed. We had a close, just within a touchdown at halftime. And then after touchdown, we fumbled the kick return and kind of momentum went to East Iberville.
Coach Myers, you're from Baker. I got to mention that.
I'm a graduate of Baker High, 1981.
All right, we got that on record.
A Buffalo.
Man. All those Baker.
Baker
natives.
Buffaloes.
Tell everybody you were in middle school for a while in Zachary.
That's
Tell
right.
Everybody, you talked to Coach Brew, one of the first people, right?
That's
before
right.
Before you got the job.
That's right. Coach Brew was the first person I went to when this job was offered to me. And we sat down, and of course, Coach Brew's first words are, come on in and sit down. He said, what can I do for you? And I tell you, Coach Brew is just awesome to me over the years since he's been at Zachary. So was Coach Weiner. I mean, they were all really great for me. And learned a lot from them and just could reach out to them at any time, and they helped me if I needed anything.
You've been all over Gretna.
I have. My wife's from Gretna and Tarrytown, and then
Bell Chase.
We moved to Bell Chase, lived in Bell Chase about 12 years, and then Katrina came along and we evacuated up to Zachary.
Man, I'm glad we're meeting. You drink? How's that coffee, Coach?
It's delicious. I like it.
It's not mine if you listen to the show. I don't drink coffee. You know, I've never had a cup.
Don't start.
Don't start it. It's Coach is meeting me at 7:00 in the morning. We're in Zachary right
yeah.
now. I'm here. I'm going to Zachary High next, and I'm gonna be in Zachary all day. And this is what it's about. You know?
It is.
Never met Coach in person. Coach knew me. I've heard Coach's name before. I never met you in person, but. It's good to meet you today.
Yeah, I was at the middle school here in Zachary for 15 years and always followed high school sports. I love Friday nights. There's nothing like Friday nights.
So you knew about our magazine, Coach in Middle School.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
We're going to go take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have more of our interview with Slaughter Charter Coach William Myers, the new head football coach at Slaughter Charter. It's by Zachary, Louisiana, really closer to Clinton. If you want to know the truth, closer to the Clinton, it's kind of in that East Feliciana Parish area there, Slaughter Charter. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has 3 dealerships, which means 3 times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Our topics right now is our interview with the head coach at Slaughter Charter, William Myers. We're going to continue with the interview, and I asked Coach about 7-on-7 at Zachary High School coming up. We also asked him about expectations for the Knights in 2021 and how fans can go see Slaughter Charter play, and also ties with Stephen and Wayne Myers. I mentioned that earlier. From Higgins and Bell Chase High School, and seeing the late Chris Henry at Bell Chase and his talent at Bell Chase in the mid-2000s, who played for the Cincinnati Bengals. Remember, the late Chris Henry was a receiver, was a phenomenal player, 6'5", about 210, ran about a 4.5, was one of the best receivers in the NFL. His life was cut way too short. Check this out. You're going to enjoy these questions with Coach William Myers, Slaughter Charter.
Any final words to the listeners, Coach, out there? Any besides that coffee helping you out this morning? Well, got some 7-on-7, huh?
That's right. We got 7-on-7 tomorrow at Zachary. Coach Brew's going to have his JV out there, and then he's got several other teams that I think we'll get on the field against. But come see the Knights this year. Come see us. It's going to be exciting. I'm telling you, we're young. But we're going to get after it, and I can't see us quitting on any game or anybody. So it's going to be tough when you line up against us.
Coach, tell everybody how they can go see Slaughter Charter Academy. How can they get to the stadium?
Just come up 19. If you're coming from Baton Rouge, come up 19 all the way. Come through Baker, come through Zachary, and then we're just about 10 minutes past Zachary. And there's one caution light. Take a left right there.
One. You can't miss
one caution light. That's it.
Well, I appreciate you meeting me this morning. But 7-on-7 is really big on Wednesdays around the state, all over. It's great to keep these kids in shape. A lot of teams going to be at Zachary Wednesday. Again, thank you, William Myers. When I first met you, I was like, are you kidding the Wayne Myers and all them, and you actually are.
I am.
From Bell Chase.
That's right, Stephen and Wayne.
Higgins.
Stephen's the head coach at Bell Chase. Yeah. Wayne was the head coach at Higgins for years.
Bob Becknell, coached with?
Coached under Bob. Bob, yeah. Awesome guy at Bell Chase a long time, and I was a running backs coach for Bob at Bell Chase. And
Chris, the late Chris Henry, huh, Coach?
Oh, awesome athlete. Coach Bob told us when he started high school at Bell Chase, said, coaches, he said, y'all going to see this guy play on Sundays. And sure enough, he ended up with the Cincinnati Bengals, and then but a tragedy happened, and he lost his life.
Early on, 6'5", big tall guy.
Oh, 6'5", could dunk a basketball anyway, every way. Just,
were you gone when James Wright was playing, Coach? Were you there?
I was not there. I had left.
Yeah,
that was right after Katrina.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had back-to-back receivers.
Oh,
there,
yeah, though. Yeah. And then 09, they won it all.
Yeah.
Bell Chase won it all.
Randall Mackey was from that area.
That's right.
And he ended up going to Bastrop.
That's right.
You remember that?
Yes, yeah.
If he had stayed.
That was the evacuation part.
South Plaquemines.
That's right. Right. Oh, South Plaquemines was us. Bell Chase and South Plaquemines was always, we played them in the Jamboree. Oh, no. First game of the year. And it was a battle. Always a battle.
Then they had Lyle Feet, who's now the coach at South Plaquemines. Played running back at Tech and South Plaquemines. The Bartholomew, so I had a bunch of those guys that played.
Yep.
But they had a quarterback, Coach. You'll remember this. Can't think of his name. He was about 6'1", 260. South Plaquemines. It's all state. Went to the Dome. They won a state title. But I never remember a guy that looked like a D-tackle play quarterback in the state championship game. It'll come to me. We'll put it in on the show when we edit. But
yeah.
6'1", 260. Yeah. Ran a 4.8.
Yeah.
Probably be your OD lineman at Charter Academy.
He would be. He would be. Right. I'd love to have that size at Slaughter.
I appreciate it, Coach.
Thank you. Okay.
Hope you enjoyed that with Coach William Myers. I really enjoyed meeting Coach. Had a chance to meet him for the first time face-to-face. I'd heard of him. He had heard of me, and it was good to sit down and talk to Coach William, and promote Slaughter Charter. You know, so this program's about promoting all schools, not just the big names. I mean, every school matters, all kids matter, and we really enjoy doing that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jace Lejeune's going to join me, and later in the show, we're going to have the Saints preview for the 2021 season, which I'm not really high on. We'll talk about that, but we'll be back with Jace Lejeune, and we'll talk about track, we'll talk about the Olympics, we'll talk about LSU baseball, and we'll talk about LSU football. We'll be right back. So, hey guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brukine. Today, for a segment, we're going to have our editor join us, Jace Lejeune. Jace, thanks for being a part of the show today.
Not a problem, Lee. Thanks for having me on once again. Always glad to be on the Sports Scouting Report.
We need a little debating, man. You're our debate guy, you know. I don't know who else to put on here. Maybe my pet cat. I don't think he can talk too much. But you're pretty good at knowing your sports for a young guy because you came up through football with your dad being a coach. And the first topic I want to talk about is LSU baseball. You know, they got a new coach from Arizona who I like a lot. I think Coach is going to be really good. Coach Johnson's going to build a great – not I don't want to say the word build. I think he's going to win right away. I think they're going to Omaha this coming year. And they got a chance to win it because Vandy lost their two star pitchers, Rocker and Leiter. Mississippi State's losing just about everybody. I'm not going to say they're all going to be rebuilt. I'm just saying they're it's one of the greatest teams in the history of Mississippi State. They're losing a lot of key guys.
I think
they're
still celebrating down there in Starkville right now.
I would be. I'd have those cowbells and a bunch of refreshments, and I'd be sitting in the stadium, and I don't know if I'd work this week at all, you know. Coach Loomis, man, what a great young coach. I mean, they're not going here. I'm just saying I don't think they'll be as good as they were this year. They lose their closer. They lose their Friday night starter who's going to go pro. They lose their top two or three hitters. That's hard to replace. Ole Miss is going to lose their top two pitchers to the draft. Florida's going to lose three or four starters. That's not going to hurt them. They just keep bringing them in.
Tennessee's going to lose a lot, too, from this year.
Arkansas loses a ton. Now, he always regroups, though, for somehow. Arkansas's got the worst luck in the world. They can't win a championship in baseball. I thought they would win it this year.
Yeah, it seemed like they were the best team all year long. But
they had the most dominant closer in college baseball. He's moving on, and their two top three, four, five pitchers are losing, and three underclassmen. Tennessee's going to lose a lot.
They're going to lose a lot from this year.
They're going to lose their ace, who's a junior, to the draft, and some key position players. So what I'm saying is it's wide open to come out of the SEC, host a regional, and here's why I'm excited. You know, they return Morgan at first. They got Dylan Cruz, who's going to be one of the top players in the country, and they add, I can't believe this, and I mean I can, but Jacob Berry, who's an Arizona native from the University of Arizona. I watched them play Ole Miss, Jace. And this guy, you know, I know Dylan Cruz is good, but he is as good or better than Dylan Cruz.
That's scary to have both those guys on the same team.
I think he's got the best swing in the country. I watched Todd Walker coming up, and this kid is – Dylan Cruz and him could go like 1 and 2 in the draft in 2 years, which is crazy.
It really is scary to have both those guys on one team.
And they potentially both could hit 30 home runs in a year next year. Each of them had close to 20 this year each. And they were both true freshmen. They're both All-Americans. They're on the USA team right now cranking home runs out like crazy.
It's going to be like having two Bregmans on one team.
Yeah, and then you got Doty coming back who had several home runs, who was really a young sophomore. Duga, who had, you know, close to 20 home runs, could come back. This could be the gorilla ball again.
You can see LSU last year at the end in the regional, super regionals. It seemed like that everything was clicking together with that team. You know, we'll see when the light will come on, and the light came on at the end of the last year. So let's see that momentum will carry over the new coach and Coach Johnson.
I think they're going to pick up some pitchers, too, with Coach Johnson. I think they need three or four pitchers. They only need about three or four. They've got seven really good pitchers coming back. Garrett Edwards is going to be a heck of a player. He was a freshman this year for LSU from Pipkin High School, 6'5". He'll be about 210 next year. I think this baseball team is going to look like a Skip Bertman baseball team right away. This guy's going to bring in the pitchers. He's going to hire a good hitting coach, good pitching coach. I think here's the over and under. Everybody thinks LSU's going to pick up like 12 Arizona players. That's not going to happen. The over and under, in my opinion, is going to be three players from Arizona, three.
If he gets the top three players from Arizona, it doesn't really matter. So
I want him to pick up two pitchers. They got a couple of bullpen guys that throw 97. I'd love to get one of those. And this is sad. I mean, it's like you're taking from another school, but let's face it, you want to win, right? And in
that same situation, like when Kim Mulkey went to LSU, you know, she was going to take some of her players. Right.
He's already stolen a couple of his verbal commitment recruits from Arizona. I think he'll grab a couple more of those. But I think my over and under is three players will transfer off the team to LSU. I don't think Coach is going to want to take more than too many. You know, it just doesn't look good.
Just
enough.
Just, like the top three guys on their team.
Yeah.
Well, the
catcher, who was a freshman All-American, said he's not leaving. So he's the other top player, Susak, but he's 6'4", 210. He's got 18 home runs this year. I'd love to get him. The LSU needs a catcher that can hit. Maybe this guy, Jacob, can change his mind. Who knows?
Yeah, crim a little bit.
All right, changing the subject, it's debate track. Former LSU sprinter, the fastest collegiate 100-meter sprinter in the country, the fastest American 100 sprinter for females in the country, Sha'Sherri Richardson, who's from Dallas, Texas, went pro early from LSU. She was so fast, ran like a 10-700 meters, which is unheard of. She's not going to be able to run in the Olympics because of a drug test. We talked about this, Jace.
Yep.
I'm a rule guy, so the rule is if you fail a drug test or a substance test, you can't place. I'm all about her not being able to participate in the Olympics.
So my thoughts on it depends on the drug. It's performance-enhancing drugs. Now, that's crossing the line if you're using a drug to help better your performance. But since she was taking marijuana, that's a drug that it's not a performance enhancer. It actually decreases your performance. So they have to change the rules a little bit, but I mean, I still agree. Like performance enhancing drugs, yeah, you can't qualify for Olympic event.
I'm all about the rule. Now, I will say this: I think they need to change the rule in the future because, I mean, alcohol is not good.
No.
All right, and you know, I'm not one to advocate to say let's make everything legal. But the rules are the rules. I'm an old school guy. And I think you got to have rules. You got to have stop signs and speed limits for stuff. So maybe she'll learn. She's very young. So she's going to run in the Olympics in the future. She's not even, I don't even think she's 20.
No.
She left LSU after 1 year, right?
Right. And I think she's dealt with a lot of personal stuff in her life. And, you know, marijuana is like a, you know, coping mechanism to help her through some tough times.
I think she's from the famed high school in Dallas, Carter, I believe, which is the famed football program. And I think she was a classmate of the defensive end Cherry that's LSU on the football team.
Jarrell Cherry, yep.
Yeah, they were in school at the same time. How you like that?
Yeah, a little tidbit there.
Jarrell Cherry, who's a guy that
hopefully can step up this year.
He was hurt last year. 6'2", 280, ran sprints at 240, running 4.5 in high school. Dallas Carter's home of Jesse Armstead. That was USA Today Player of the Year.
That Dallas Carter team in the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, that really good. I mean, all kinds of NFL.
And then back then, Mack Brown hired the head coach. You think he knew what he was doing? That's when you could hire a coach and then you get the players. Now you can't. But he hired the coach at Dallas Carter and they started signing all the.
Yeah, the state championship game based on that Friday Night Lights. Odessa Permian and. Yep. So.
Yeah. I wonder if it helped getting Richardson by having Jarrell Cherry on the campus. Yeah, you never know. It never hurts.
Yeah, I know LSU's track and field programs, you know, states national. For itself, national, big-time program. So,
yeah.
States for itself.
I mean, they got kids from England, Congo, Jamaica, Trinidad.
Yeah, wherever you can find them.
I mean, everywhere. Australia. A lot of those shot putters and distance runners and javelin throwers. I mean, they come from all over the country. And there's not a lot of scholarship money in track.
No, there's not.
So you got to go pro if you're offered a deal, you know. Final segment here with Jace is I'm concerned about LSU football if they lose any more 2-deep players this summer. If you want to beat Alabama, they have 50 kids that could be on their 2-deep. LSU has about 25. They're already 25 ahead of you on guys that are 2-deep guys.
Exactly. They're probably 3-4 deep, if you think about
talent-wise.
Right, right.
You can't lose any more of your top 25 guys. Now, Dare Rosenthal, was he a top 10 guy? No. Is he a top 15? No.
He's a starter for you at a very important position for LSU. Yeah.
So now you got a number problem at O-line. So if you have an injury, now you're digging into under 10 players.
So now, since, you know, he's actually one of the staple guys that you can trust out there at tackle. Now, you have Deckless. You put Cameron Wire out there at tackle. So, like,
I mean, Dumerville.
Dumerville at tackle.
Now, Dumerville has to be ready now. No choice, right?
And that's the thing. You got to count on a lot of young guys to step up at tackle now.
Or do you move Ed Ingram outside, who played tackle early on in his career, because you have to, and then you bring these young guys inside, like Marlon Martinez, who could play center, but now he can't be the center. Maybe he's got to be a guard because you're low on guards, moving your guard to tackle. There's so many. Look, one injury, they're going to have to do that.
One domino falls over.
Yeah.
It creates.
So LSU's too thin right now at linebacker to lose a linebacker. And, you know, I'm just saying, if somebody was to leave at linebacker between now and August, they're already thin. Now, are they quality at linebacker? Yeah, they bring in Mike Jones from Clemson. We're going to see what he can do. They got some good linebackers coming up, but Micah Bakersfield's got to get back in his routine. He missed all of spring, re-enrolled, right?
Yeah, we need a Baskerville from 2 years ago, the one from last year.
The Vandy block punt, right. Baskerville.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Damon Clark, who we need to see his 2019 season again. Damon Clark from Southern Land. So, I mean, my point is LSU needs to hang on to all these kids. You could say compliance, you can say this, you can say that, blah, 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 whatever. But you can't keep losing key players to beat Alabama. And look, people don't like the word Alabama, Jace. They don't like to hear the word Alabama. And I don't even like saying it a lot.
No, it's cursed around these parts.
That's the team you got to beat. Unfortunately, they're in your conference, and they're on your side.
Yep, SEC West, on the side of the conference.
I don't mean to be the downer here, but, I mean, can LSU ever get through a summer without losing a starter?
Now it's tough, especially in today's age of college football and the transfer portal and everything going on. It is tough, but if you are a starter for LSU, those are the guys you especially can't lose. And we talked about the two deep two. So any guys that are, you know, in the mix for a starting job or a starter, you can't lose those guys. Now, you know, third, fourth string guys, like, you know, I'm not going to play, so why bother staying? I mean, you're going to lose those guys. But guys that will start for you,
yeah,
that's a major game changer.
It's basically your top 45 players. That's your two deep, punter and kicker.
Right.
Bama's got 80 that could be on their 45. LSU doesn't have 80 that could be in their 45. They might have 55 maybe. Not 80. Actually, it's 85 scholarships.
Yeah, 85 scholars.
Bama's got 85 that could be in their top 45.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're getting rid of guys right now that didn't make their top 50.
Right.
That's what people don't understand. They go, oh, this guy's leaving Bama. Well, they're three over.
That's what separates it. I mean, you look at Alabama's top 20 guys and LSU's top 20 guys. Yeah, they can compete. But you got to look at the extra depth behind that, which makes
that's why we're having Alabama. This conversation.
Yep, right.
You cannot go through an 8-game season or a 9-game season in the SEC?
Yeah, yep. I think we're going back to 8, yep.
8 out of 12 games? You can't go through 8 games with just 25 great players. Isn't it crazy to say? But, I mean, you can't. You got to have 50.
Maybe you can sneak by in the East, but certainly not in the SEC West.
Look, Tennessee might have 12 players that are SEC quality starters this year. Did you see Tennessee's offseason?
Yeah.
They lost 31 players.
Yeah, and they got a star, like five-star quarterback come in. He was kicked off the team. Yeah, musical chairs with transfer portal.
Here's the crazy thing about Tennessee. They're so desperate for players. They're taking a DB that already transferred to Georgia from Alabama. It was only there a week, and now he's at Tennessee.
Tennessee. Talk about rebuilding job.
Here's a great stat. Did you know Tennessee lost 8 linebackers off their roster this offseason out of 11?
Yeah, I've heard that.
And they brought 3 in. Guess what? They got 6 for the whole year.
Yep. This is incredible because if you look at Tennessee with Coach Fulmer, like, you know, probably about 10, 15 years ago when they were good, and now it's unbelievable how much they dropped.
They signed All-American, Casey Claus and Albert Haynesworth.
Early 2000s, John Henderson. They were rolling.
They got every running back out of Georgia that was anything. They got all these California recruits. Kevin Burnett played for the Cowboys. I mean, they got so much talent. And now Tennessee, they don't even have a backup linebacker going into the season. Me and you could walk on right now to Tennessee if they allow people over 25 to walk. I'm serious. They have no backup linebackers.
No backup linebackers.
Isn't that scary?
It is really scary. And in the last couple of years, they couldn't find the quarterback. And especially if you don't have a quarterback, you can't win.
I mean, they got the worst quarterback setup I've seen in a decade. I mean, no offense to Jarrett Garitano, but he was horrible. I could have played quarterback better than Garrett. I mean,
yeah, he had one good game against Auburn, and that's about it. I mean, every other game was pretty tough to watch.
In Vandy, poor Vandy, they fired their coach. Now their coach is at Auburn, Coach Mason. 40 players have left their program. How would you like to be their new head coach? And Auburn, by the way, they've lost 28 players in offseason. They have no depth. And if they beat LSU this year, that's going to be tough for LSU fans, especially with T.J. Finley going over there.
Right. Add extra salt to the wound.
This is fun. Happens. We didn't mean to go through the SEC, but I think people enjoy it.
I'm curious about the SEC this year. There are a lot of, question marks this year.
Just you ready? Since we're in it already?
Might as well. We're deep in the rabbit hole already.
Okay. My team's to go to Atlanta. What should happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be popular.
Okay.
Alabama. Should be Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, it should be those should two. Be. I mean, until somebody proves it.
But Georgia, I don't think their coach is a good game day coach and a good developer of talent. I think he's a great recruiter. Kirby Smart, he just looks like a guy that can get him there.
Because those 5 stars look like 3 stars out there.
I think Florida still can end up beating them with half the talent. Not that Florida didn't have talent, but Florida didn't have Kyle Trask anymore. That's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I think South Carolina is a sleeper this year.
Yeah, South Carolina. I think Missouri. Kentucky too. Missouri could be a sleeper this year. Kentucky.
Stoops has done a good job at Kentucky. He doesn't have a quarterback. That's what's kept him from going places. LSU could go to Atlanta, but they got to beat Alabama.
Yeah, got to go through them. Yep.
I don't see Bama losing to Ole Miss, State, Arkansas. I don't see Georgia beating Alabama this year during the season. Yeah, I don't see that happening. And then who's
got to beat the master? And, Kirby Smart hasn't beat the master yet.
The sleeper team to me this year is Ole Miss. I think Lane Kiffin, and he's got some phenomenal athletes. Could have beat LSU in Tiger Stadium last year. LSU only had 30 players for the game. Boutte went off on them for 300-something yards.
He went absolutely insane in
that game.
Max
Johnson had great throws in that game. That's why Max is in the conversation, that game in Florida game.
Yeah, those last two games were pretty good.
Yeah, for an 18-year-old kid at 6'5", to do that. But I think Ole Miss is going to be a tough win for LSU this year. I really do. It's going to be in Oxford. And now Lane's got all the parts and pieces he needs. Now, I know they don't have a great defense, but they have more talent now. And now he's got the offense he wants. And that quarterback didn't have a good night against LSU, good day.
Yeah, he had 2 Matt Corral. Matt Corral.
But he's
a good
quarterback.
Yep,
he almost threw for 4,000 yards last year. So he's back. They got all their running backs back. They got all their O-linemen back. All the receivers back. It's scary what Ole Miss could be.
And Lane Kiffin's always unpredictable when it comes to game days.
And LSU does not play well in Oxford. I've been to 2 games personally there. Lost both games. I'm not going back. I'm bad news for LSU fans. I was there when Mettenberger was the quarterback.
I knew you were going to bring that one up.
And it had Jeremy Hill, Jarvis Landry, Beckham, Kenny Hilliard, Terrence McGee.
Yeah, it wasn't James a good game for Mettenberger.
They got beat badly. And they were and Ole Miss had 12 players hurt.
Yep.
Oh.
I remember that game.
It wasn't a good game. And Mettenberger could not move. they started coming after him and sacking him and making him rush his throws. And that same year, Bama beat LSU, and LSU really had a good team, but he couldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept – I think he got hurt in that game against Alabama.
Yeah, he did. He did.
It was at Alabama, and they had a lot of talent. LSU, I mean, think about it. Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Jeremy Hill, Kenny Hayward, Terrence McGee, James Wright.
And they lost, like, three games that year.
Alfred Blue.
Yeah.
Lyle Collins. Yeah.
With all that talent, they lost three games that year.
That's why Les Miles didn't stay. That Wisconsin game and then the Auburn game and not long after it, his final season.
Yeah, that was 2016, yep.
I wonder if he'd have kept his job if they'd have caught that ball in the end zone against Auburn on the last play. Remember, it was close.
That's what find that game so ironic, because the way Les Miles has won games out of his hat, you know.
Yeah. Demetrius Byrd.
Yep, Demetrius Byrd, the fake kick against Florida when he threw it over his back and yeah. bounced right to the
How about the block field goal against Ohio State in the national championship game? It was 10-0 Ohio State. That changed mm-hmm. the game.
Yep.
Ricky Jean-Francois, remember that
yep.
name?
Yep, oh, I remember that name. Yep, going back.
Ollie Haasmith was on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's when LSU had some good Miami players from Miami, Florida. Appreciate it, Jace.
Well, not a problem. Always great to talk about the Tigers.
Yeah, not always agree, you know. This is good. And then we're going to look, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Saints. If you like the Saints, it'll be 10, 15, 20 minutes of Saints talk. I go through the team real fast. By position, we'll be back with the Saints.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Welcome back. Let's talk about the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees is retired. It's going to be really weird for a while, for me anyway, that Drew Brees is not the quarterback this year after almost 20 years. It's going to be really, really odd. And I think a lot of listeners would probably agree with me. It's just going to be different. So at quarterback, Taysom Hill, you would think, would be the starter. You know, he's played a lot behind Drew, but he struggled. He struggled. The more he started, the more it became harder for him to keep the job and be a quarterback. They picked up Trevor Siemian from another NFL team who's from Northwestern, Chicago, 5-year vet. And they got Jameis Winston, who's trying to set the redo button on his career. And he's not in Tampa Bay anymore. And he got a little playing time last year and did a pretty good job. But the future at quarterback, I don't think, is Jameis Winston long term. It's not Trevor Siemian, and it's not Taysom Hill. I think the rookie Ian Book from Notre Dame is a guy that's not just a helmet guy that's brought in late in the draft. I think he's a serious contender. If Winston was to struggle, if Trevor Siemian struggles, which could happen, and Taysom Hill doesn't take the job like he should, you might see a rookie play the final half of the season. They might just go ahead and do the rebuild mode if this doesn't work out with these guys. Because you basically got three veterans and a rookie. I'm pulling for Jameis Winston to be the guy that we all thought he would be when he came out of Florida State. You know, when he played for Jimbo Fisher and they won a national championship, Jameis Winston was a freak of nature like Cam Newton. Things didn't work out in Tampa Bay toward the end of his career. He ends up in New Orleans. He had a couple of good games last year replacing Drew when Drew was hurt. He did a good job. But that was along with Taysom Hill. You know, between the two of them, they could get that done. You know, and the Saints had a good defense last year before injuries hit them. When Quan Alexander got hurt, I thought that hurt the Saints' defense a lot going to the playoffs. The offensive line for the Saints, I think, is going to be really good. If Terron Armstead comes back, the vet, Eric McCoy, excuse me there, Ryan Ramczyk from Wisconsin's a stud. Cesar Ruiz from Michigan's a good player. Will Clapp still hanging on from LSU as a backup. But I want to see Andres Pete stay healthy. The former first-round pick from Stanford. He's huge, 6'7", about 320. But he needs to stay healthy. And then at wide receiver, you've got Deontay Harris, who's okay. He's showed flashes, the little guy, 5'6", 170. Traquan Smith, love to see more from him. Michael Thomas, we know he's a future Hall of Famer if he stays healthy. Adam Trautman, I love him, the young tight end that they got as a steal, I think, out of Dayton College. I'm curious to see what this draft pick Kawan Baker does from South Alabama. It's going to be tough breaking in, but we'll see. I like this little Jordan Humphrey from Texas. I always liked him. He's a free agent, about 6'4", about 230, can run. He's a freak. He looks like Megatron, and they didn't have to even draft him. He came in as a free agent. Running back-wise, Alvin Kamara is a Hall of Famer. And it's just a matter of having a backup to him, right? You know, and that would be Tony Jones or Dwayne Washington from Washington Huskies. Latarius Murray, I don't know if he'll be on the team. Looks like he's solid. He's a big power guy, but he doesn't have that burst anymore that he had in Minnesota. And defense. You know, there's a good D-line at the Saints. I mean, Marcus Davenport needs to stay healthy, right? He looks like $1 million, but he always gets hurt. Cameron Jordan is a Hall of Famer. Man, he's Mr. Steady. He's a phenomenal. He's going to have some serious sacks when he's retired. He's going to have – I don't know. He might end up breaking Michael Strahan's record when it's said and done if he can keep playing. He looks like he can play another 5 years. Cameron Jordan played at Berkeley and California University. You know, they've got a lot of good D linemen. I like Shy Tuttle, who really came on as a – he wasn't even drafted from Tennessee, and it's his third year. He's doing a good job. And Carl Granderson is a great player. Glasgow's had his moments. And David Onemata is a stud. He just needs to stay healthy. You know, Noah Spence, the former Penn State stud who finished at Eastern Kentucky, is getting another chance. See what he does in camp. Linebacker Demario Davis is one of the best in the league. I mean, I just hated to see Quan Alexander get hurt. I thought those two were going to help the Saints win a Super Bowl. But Quan got hurt, you know, going late in the year, tore his knee. Pete Werner is a rookie from Ohio State that I think will start. I think he's a great Mike linebacker. They got a great one in Pete Werner. I love this guy. Zach Bond is a second-year guy, okay. They don't have a lot of depth at linebacker. Look for them to pick up some free agents. Look for somebody in camp to make the team as a linebacker. They're not, you know, they're not very deep at linebacker outside of Davis and the rookie, Pete Werner, out of Ohio State. DB, I've got to say, the Saints have improved the last few years. They've got some really good DBs. C.J. Gardner-Johnson's a great player from Florida. Malcolm Jenkins looks like he's about 25 again. He's almost 38. He's done a phenomenal job. Marshawn Lattimore is a great player, just needs to stay healthy. Patrick Robinson, he's a good player. And Marcus Williams. You got P.J. Williams. You also have J.T. Gray from Mississippi State in camp, see what he does. And the rookie from Stanford, Paulson Adebo, who's a corner. We'll see if he works out. And for the first time in 20 years almost, the Saints have a new punter, Blake Gillikin. Isn't that crazy? No Breeze, no more punter. The original Super Bowl champ players that were left are no longer on the team. There's no players left, I think, from that Super Bowl win. I'm pretty sure there's no one left except Cameron Jordan, I think. Cam Jordan might be the only one left from that Super Bowl. Isn't that amazing? One player still on the team. You got Jalen McCleskey in camp as a free agent. We'll see how he does. Played at Tulane. You got another punter, Nolan Cooney, Syracuse free agent. He's a great punter. He had a good game against LSU a few years ago. But there's some good players in camp. We'll see what happens with some of these free agents. The Saints are good at shopping and signing players, but I think it's going to be a down year. I really do. I think the defense is going to have to carry this team. Kamar is good. Thomas is good. But you got to be able to throw it on third and five. You got to move the chains. You got to win close games. And, you know, Breeze, all the great ones win the close games. Brady won tons of them last year in Tampa Bay and did it for years with New England. But you got to win close games. And, you know, when the game's tied, you know, and you're playing Tampa Bay, you know, can Jameis Winston Taysom Hill, can they win close games? Can they throw the ball and convert third downs? Can they get touchdowns late in the game when they instead of field goals? So I got the Saints going 8-8. Not going to be a fan favorite with that prediction, right? But I've got them going 8-8. If they do better than that, be shocked. I don't know. They might shock and win 10 games. They might go 10-6. But, you know, Tampa Bay's in that division. Carolina's getting better. You know, everybody's getting better in that division. Atlanta's still going to be pretty good. I mean, they've got some great players. It's going to be a tough season for the Saints, I think. Like I said, you might see Ian Book be the quarterback late in the year if Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, they don't pan out in the first 7-8 games. That's what you do now. You just prepare and get the guy experience, see if he can do it or not, or do you need to draft a quarterback? But I'm rooting for Jameis Winston. If he pans out, that means they'll at least win 10 games and go 10-6, be a wild card team. I think that's the best upside, is to be a wild card playoff team. If I'm wrong, I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping they win 10 games. I hope everybody enjoyed the show.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.